Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 314. 314. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Let's take it up a little bit. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 70. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to
Your Bibles with you this evening, I'd like to read from the book of Hebrews. We'll read a portion of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read the first 18 verses. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And every priest standeth daily ministering, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, holy and righteous King of all, we humbly come into your presence, Lord, through your blessed Son, Lord Jesus Christ, with humble hearts, Lord, that you've given us, that you've prepared us. Yet boldly at the same time, we come in your blessed Son. Thank you for everything that you have so freely provided, everything you've given us. We thank you for your holy words been preserved for us. Lord, we ask that you would teach it to us. Teach us thy way. Enable us to read your word and to understand it. Lord, to nourish our souls with it. Cause us to grow. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us tonight as our pastor stands before us to preach from the word, or that you would reveal it to our hearts. Let us not meet in vain. Lord, we pray for those who are weak and weary. Those who are troubled. Lord, we have brethren who are traveling. Ask your mercies be upon them all.
Yes, sir.
We ask thy mercies be upon us too. Lord, we need your mercy every moment, every hour, and every day. Father, we ask that you would keep us or we won't be kept. Let us not flee from the one thing needful. Keep us coming and cleaving and believing. Lord, most of all, we ask that you'd save your sheep wherever they may be. Be with the members of other congregations, our brothers and sisters, Lord, some we know and some we don't. But we pray for them too. That you bless their meetings. Cause the gospel to go forth. Lord, we pray that will be done for Christ's sake. Amen. Hymn number 452. We'll sing the verses and then we'll save the chorus for last. On the third verse, we'll say in wonder instead of in pity. In wonder. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In wonder angels beheld him, and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he poured for my soul that night. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill
Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 this evening. And we'll start here in verse 17, but I want to talk about grace tonight. I want to deal with grace. Free grace. God's grace. Amazing grace. Start here in verse 17. I'll comment as I go to get where I want to go. For if by one man's offense, or by one offense, it says in the margin, by one offense, by one sin, by one man's sin, death reigned by that one offense, by that one sin. And by that one man, much more. Now listen to this. And this is one of the apostles' way of describing things. He says, if that's what happened, much more. I'm going to tell you what happened for us. They receive abundance of grace. One sin is an offense. But we receive abundance of grace. And listen to this, and the gift of righteousness by one, Jesus Christ. We lost by one man's one sin, but we get an abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. Abundance. One ruined us, but we get an abundance of grace. And then look what he goes on to say. Therefore, as by the offense of judgment, of condemnation come upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, I want to try to show you something here if I can. When it says there in verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one, judge came upon all men to condemnation. Now, that means, I believe that that's just the elect that he's talking about, because he says the same thing in the latter part of the verse. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. We know that all men are not justified. We know that all men don't have the gift of life. So I think the all men there is all of God's elect. All of us came under the same condemnation. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But yet it says, you know, we received the righteousness of one, a free gift, came upon all men under justification of life. So it can't be all men are lost and then all men are justified. So you got to figure out who those all men that he's talking about. Is it the same all men in both instances? I think it is. And then look what he says here now. In verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. He takes it from all men to many. One man's disobedience made sinners. So by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. And this is the reason, he says, this is the reason that God gave the law and the law entered. The law came into existence that the offense or the sin might abound. But wherever sin abounded, I don't care how much this sin of offense was, then the law made this offense to abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You think sin abounded. Grace makes sin, I don't care how many they are, it does away with them. Bounds over them. And as he goes on to say, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace now reign through the righteousness of God Almighty given to us in Christ unto eternal life by Jesus our Lord. But look there where it says, sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, the Scriptures tells us very, very plainly, about salvation being of grace. But I love the word grace. Grace is a charming sound. Oh, my, it's not one more wonderful word in the Bible than grace, if you understand it. And grace, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful word. And grace is a comprehensive word. It covers more than you, where sin over here abounded. But grace comes along, and it's like a match, and you take a whole bucket of water to put out that match. And I'll tell you what, no matter how much sin abounded, grace superabounded over that sin and done away with it. And what a comprehensive word. And in these verses, we have a great, great contrast. Where sin abounded, we have grace much more abounding. We have judgment because of sin. We have righteousness as a free gift. And sin reigns unto death. You know, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, it's abundance of grace. And I tell you what, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And I tell you, where sin abounded, grace completely overflowed that sin. No matter how much sin is present, the grace that comes from God Almighty through Christ is immeasurable. You can't measure it. What you read tonight, it says, you know, that Christ, God said, I had no more, there's no sacrifice for sin. I had no pleasure in them. The blood of bulls and goats can't put away sin. But this man, by one offering, came to do the will of God, and by that will of God, Christ came and put away sin once, for all time and all eternity and for all His people. Oh my. I tell you, grace, what a wonderful... You know how many people you go through the Bible and see what grace has done for them? Mary Magdalene. Everybody's heard about Mary. There's Christ, Mary's mother. There's another Mary, but Mary Magdalene is the most notorious woman in the Bible. What made her notorious? Well, she had seven devils. Seven of them. That means she is pretty rough. She is pretty mean. She is probably about half crazy or worse than that. She don't tell them what kind of woman that people, what kind of reputation she had. But oh my. When Christ came to her and saved her by His grace, everywhere you find her from then on, she's around Christ, she's following Christ, she's at the foot of Christ, she's worshiping Christ, waiting on Christ, serving Christ, fixing meals for Christ. She, once God done something for her, she never got over it. She's been in glory all these years, all these millenniums. And there's Zacchaeus. He was a thief. Said he was. He said, I'll restore fourfold what I've taken. He was up a tree. And Christ said, Zacchaeus, come down. Why? Because salvation has come to your house today. And he didn't say, I sure would like to come home with you. He said, I must abide at your house today. I must. And there was nobody meaner. Nobody hated Christ more. Nobody wanted to put Christians out of business more than Paul, Saul of Tarsus. I mean, he had already put women in jail. Already put men in jail. Already had punished and served and mistreated God's people for a long time. He was a Pharisee. And he was on his way to get a whole bunch of folks and bring them back up to Jerusalem and put them in jail. But God said, today's the day. The hour has come. Oh my, light brighter than the sun shone on him. And listen, Clay Curtis preached a message here one time, the blessing of blindness. And what a blessing it was that God struck Saul of Tarsus blind. He became blind to his self-righteousness, blind to his Phariseeism. He became blind to everything that he ever trusted in. And when God opened his eyes, the Scriptures tells us he went straightway and preached him whom he once persecuted. That's what you call grace. That's what you call grace. Oh, my. Simon Peter. Oh, my goodness. He was a mess. He was a mess. And I tell you, he bragged to the Lord Jesus, I'll die with you, I'll go to prison with you. And then he fell and denied the Lord three times. But oh, did our Lord deny him? Did our Lord forsake him? Did our Lord say, no, no. You know what our Lord did? Simon, Simon, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I do. Simon, Simon, do you love me? I do. Simon, Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know. Oh, my. Even those who nailed our Lord Jesus Christ to the tree, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And there was a multitude of sinners forgiven by that one prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is awful. Sin is black. Sin is despicable. Sin, no excuse for sin. No justification for sin. But where it sin abounds, grace superabounds. Grace overflows. So let's look at grace. Let's look at grace. I think I got 6 points. 6 points. And let me tell you the first thing, a point about grace. Grace is God acting freely. Grace is God acting freely. What do I mean that? God acting according to His nature. God acting according to His nature of love. You know, say, God don't have to love. Yes, He does. God is love. And where there's love, and God is love. He's not a God of love. He is love. And when you've got a God who is love, that love must be expressed. It must be brought out. It must be expressed. And it has to be expressed freely. And I tell you, according to the nature of love. He said, you know, Hosea said like this, I will love them freely. Grace is God acting freely. And I tell you, and then he said, God spared not His own Son, but will He not also with Him freely, freely give us all things, being justified freely by His grace? And love must be manifested. Love must be acted out. You know, you hear people so stupid. You know, we're free to love. We aren't free. We are not free to love whom we would. A man that would love 3 or 4 women more as much as he did his wife, you'd say, that's a sorry man. He's not a man that's... It'd be an impossibility for him to do that. And we aren't free to love whom we will. We fall in love with people, with individuals. And people, we fall in love with people that God's gave us a love one enough for. But God is free to love whom He will. You and I are not. But God is free to love exactly who He wants to. And if God loves anyone, if God loves anyone, if He loves anyone in this building, anyone at any time in history, in past history, present, or in future history, if God loves anyone at all, it has to be an act of God's grace. Has to be. If He loves somebody, it's an act of grace. It's an act of grace. Oh my. And I tell you, grace, and grace is God giving His people as individuals, every one of us here individuals. God didn't save us as a group. He saved every one of us, one at a time. One at a time. And God, having loved His people as individuals, and He does it without any promises or obligation for us to fulfill. He don't say, I'll love you if you do this. I'll love you if you do that. He said, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you, and I don't want nothing back from you. You don't have to do anything to get me to love you. I'm going to love you freely. Oh, and here's another thing about His blessed grace. He gives us grace righteously. What do I mean by that? He gives us grace in light of what His Son was going to accomplish on the cross. Abraham was a righteous man thousands of years before Christ went to the cross. God's always viewed His people as righteous in view of our Lord Jesus Christ dying and establishing righteousness by His death. So when God gives us grace, He does it on the basis of what His Son accomplished and what He'd do on behalf of us. And oh my, the gift of grace. Surely, surely, we did not deserve the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I tell you what, if God saved us righteously, He did it on the basis of what Christ accomplished. And here's a second thing. Grace is undeserved by its recipients. For those who receive it, grace is absolutely undeserved. Huh? Anybody here feels like they deserve grace? Grace, beloved, is cause lies completely, wholly, and solely in God Almighty, in Him Himself. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, grace is undeserved in the ones who receive it. Its cause lies completely, wholly, and solely in the giver, God Almighty, you know. And look what it says here in verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now that's a long time ago. As for I was, for you was, for Adam was, for anybody was. And then He says this, and that we should be holy. Oh my. And listen to this. And without blame. Before Him in love. Not our love for Him, but His love for us. And listen to this now. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. God only had one son. But He meant to have a multitude of sons that no man can number. So He adopts them. And the reason adoption is so we can have the inheritance that Christ has. And listen to why He did this. Having predestinated us according to the good pleasure of His will. Why'd God do it? Chose us in Christ for the foundation of the world. It pleased Him to do it. Good pleasure of His will. And oh my, here's another reason why He done it. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Did you notice that did we do anything in any of those things that were said? Did we do anything? Did we have anything to do with those three verses deal with? Huh? Did we have anything to do with that? If a person looks for a cause in themselves, you won't be able to find it. You won't be able to find it. That's what makes grace so amazing. It's free. It's free. It comes to man as they are, and it overflows and superabounds over their sin. So it's, no, don't look for a cause. I just can't understand why God would do that for me. Why God would do that for me. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called amazing. It is amazing. And here the third thing is that grace is sovereign. Grace is sovereign. Now what in the world do I mean by that? That God has no debts to pay. God has no debts to pay. You know, if a man works, the Scripture says that God has to pay him off. If a man hath works, he hath whereof to glory. He hath whereof to glory. And if a man wants his wages for what he's done, God will give him his wages. And the wages of sin is death. God will pay everybody off. And I get great comfort out of this. And I've said it a, I don't care what anybody's doing. I don't care what powerful they are, how nobodies they are. I don't care where they live or what they're doing. There is absolutely nobody getting by with one thing. God is keeping track. And you die without Christ, you're going to face the wages of your life, the wages that God will pay you just as sure as you live in this world. He'll pay you your wages. But He don't pay us wages. He gives us grace. And here's the thing. God puts no conditions on man's part to wait on. Is He waiting on us to do something? Is He waiting on us to become believers before He can give us grace? Is He waiting on us to have some faith before He can give us grace? Is that waiting on us to be obedient, come to services so many times to give us grace? No. He does not expect anything from us whatsoever. He gives it. He gives it. And He gives us. Oh my. God doesn't wait for us to become worthy. Oh, to do some kind of an act. Oh, He don't wait for us to become worthy. It's the unworthy. And I tell you, grace, God's grace, bless His holy name, God's grace can act toward whom He will, can act when it will, and where it pleases Him. It'll come to the person that God Almighty is pleased to give it to. Huh? I tell you what, whether you're on the road like Paul was, or you're in a church house, or whether you're in prison, or in a palace, or upon a tree beside Christ, and you're a thief, Christ got grace, and He gives it, and if He person waiting to get worthy of it, they'll never have it. Oh my. I tell you, He can place the worst deceivers, and the worst sinners, in the highest place. He took Saul of Tarsus, a God-hater and a Christ-rejecter, and a Pharisee of Pharisees, and made him an apostle. He took Simon Peter, who denied Him, and made him to be a lion for the grace of God, a lion of the gospel of God. Oh, my. He can place the worst sinners and those who deserve nothing in the highest place. You know what old Jacob said one night after he slept on a pillow and God came to him and laid hold on him? You know what he said after God got done with him? He said, "I'm not worthy of the least of your tender mercies." Whatever the least mercies you got, I'm not worthy of that. Oh my. I think he knew something about grace. Oh, it can bypass a multitude and save one, like Zacchaeus up the tree. Go out into the desert and save a eunuch and pass by everybody else. Well, there's a revival going on. He has to go to one eunuch. Our Lord went to one woman. Woman at the well. He comes and gives grace when you least expect it and to the least person that you would ever expect Him to do. That woman at the well, our Lord Jesus said, you know, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Our Lord said, you're telling the truth. You're really telling the truth. He said, you've had five of them. You've had five of them. And the one you're with that now, that's not your husband. Her eyes got about that big. She said, "Oh my, how you know this?" She left her water pot. She walked off and left. She went there to get water in the middle of the day because of her reputation. Everybody goes out early in the morning, late in the evening, but she comes at the middle of the day. And boy, when Christ confronted her, you know what she did? She left her water pot sitting right there. Run into town. Come see a man! Come see a man. You know what he did? He told me everything that I've ever done and ever been. Oh, is this not the Christ, the Messiah? Oh my, He can save one at a time, a multitude at a time, or save one at a time. He can save 3,000 at a time, or save a eunuch all by Himself. Oh my, or a woman at the well. I tell you what, and everybody that God saves, He saves them by grace. Now let me tell you something. I noticed this morning when I was talking with somebody. But you know, when they were just talking about tongues this morning, and you know there in Acts chapter 2, when they the first time that they spoke in tongues, they all got up there, and all the apostles got up there. And there was people there from all over the world at that time. And the Scripture said that they heard every man speak in their own language. And you know what they was preaching? They was preaching the Word of God. The Word of grace. Every one of those fellows, though they were speaking in another language, and everybody heard them, they was preaching Christ and the gospel of the grace of God in Christ and what He accomplished. Every single one of them. And say, they was preaching the Word of His grace. And I tell you, that's what happens. And here's another thing about grace. Grace cannot act where there's ability. If grace will not act where there's ability. As long as a man's got some ability, as long as a man's got some worth, as long as a man's got some power, he ain't going to get no grace. Mm-mm. And I tell you, grace doesn't cooperate. No. Grace, we don't need help. We need grace. We don't need to shove in the right direction. We need grace. And grace is absolute. It does all, or it does nothing. You can't mix it up. It's grace that saves us from start to finish. Grace does it all. All to Him we owe. And oh, God, thank God for grace. And I tell you what, grace cannot come where there is ability. And then if there's no cause, since there's no cause in us why God should show grace to us, we should never, ever look for any reason for God giving grace to us. Should never look for it. Because if you start trying to figure out why He showed grace to you, you're trying to figure out, well, there's some reason He done it. But there ain't no reason He done it. The only reason He done it is because He willed to do it. He was pleased to do it. And it had to come from Him. Had to come from Him. Oh, you hear somebody say, God gave me grace because. Listen, there ever never is a because. Oh, never is a because. Huh? No. If there ever is a cause for God to do something for you, it ceases to be grace. Paul says, you know, if you add anything to Christ, you've fallen from grace. You add anything to grace, you're fallen from grace. You know all it takes to fall from grace? Is to add one little thing to Christ, and you're fallen from grace. To go back to the law for something you think you need to do, you've fallen from grace. That's all it takes. And here's my... If I done five, I believe I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm on five. And here's one thing I do know about grace. Grace produces humility. Grace produces humility. Grace teaches us something. When God makes us understand, and only grace can do this, only God can do this, when God makes us to understand that we're the objects of His sovereign free grace, it humbles us like we've never been humble. And it keeps us working to stay down. We won't down there. We won't down there. You know, why in the world would grace produce humility? You know why? Because we see that we're absolutely unworthy of anything God would ever do for us. We're absolutely unworthy. We was unworthy before we was born. We was unworthy all the days of our life. We're still unworthy. And we'll be unworthy until we enter glory. Nobody thinks they're worthy of the grace of God. Nobody thinks they're worthy for God to do anything for them. And when He shows us our absolute worthiness, worthlessness, and our absolutely unworthiness, were we worth, let me ask you some questions, were we worth Christ coming into this world? Huh? Were we worth Him being despised and rejected and beaten and bruised by men and mangled by men? Were we worthy of His horrible, horrible treatment by men and how they did Him at His... Was we worthy of our Lord bearing our sins in His own body on the tree? Was we worthy of Him taking our place as substitutionary death on the cross? Were we worthy for Him to come and become a man? Were we worthy of His blood being shed and Him dying with that blood shedding? Were we worthy of Him being forsaken of His Father? Were we worthy of those things? We're not worthy of anything that God would do for any of us. The minute we become worthy, it ceases to be grace. The minute you become think that you've got something to offer, it ceases to be grace. And when you start thinking about what God did for you, and He did all this for you, starting in eternity and then in time, Christ came for people like us. He was treated horribly for people like us. And I didn't deserve Christ to do anything. I certainly didn't deserve Him to give me any grace at all. I mean, you know, the things that I've said and done in my life, I fell 1,000 times, fell flat on my face. I've sinned. I can't count the sins that I've committed. No way I know what sins I've committed since I've been a believer and been a preacher. What keeps me from falling? Grace. I'm not worthy of anything God would do for me. You know, you say that, Lord, Why would you endure such things? And I tell you, we're brought to know our complete, absolute inability to do anything at all, to get God to do something for us. And yet God blesses us. God blesses us. Blesses us on another principle. On the principle of grace. On the principle of grace. And here's my last point. Flesh has no place in the purpose of God's sovereign free grace. Flesh has no purpose in it, no profit in it whatsoever. Huh? Oh my, Paul said, I know that what I would not do, that's what I do. And that I would do, I don't. So he said, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells just a little bit of good. No, in my flesh dwells not one good thing. Oh, when he told John the Baptist, you know, he told the prophet, said, "Watch, go and cry. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. It's like a flower. The grass withers, the flower fadeth. But he also turned around and said, I want you to tell them something. Tell these people something. I want you to stand up and not only cry out that their flesh, that their flesh is grass like a flower and it fades away, but also tell them, behold your God. We're flesh, we're nothing, we're unprofitable, but oh, bless His holy name. He also said, stand up and holler, behold your God. Behold your God. Oh my. That's why the natural man, no matter how religious he is, he hates grace. He hates grace. It leaves him no room for boasting. He can't brag. He can't boast. He can't look to himself. And there's no contribution whatsoever that the flesh can offer. And oh my. That's why we rejoice in the grace of God. There's nothing good in us. And yet God loves us. God blesses us just as we are. Not the way we want to be, not the way we're going to be, but just as we are. Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, as long as we live on this earth, God does it. Oh, my. Oh, no wonder Paul said, oh, thank God for the power of God. God gave us grace in Christ before the world ever began that we should be holy. Gave us grace in Christ that we should be holy. And He done it on purpose. Bless His name. He crossed our path on purpose. He did that on purpose. Why would He do that? He's God. And I'm glad He's the way He works. I'm glad that's the way He works. Oh my. And I'll tell you, this grace is given us in Christ from the foundation of the world. Somebody asked, how are you saved? By grace. How do you stand? In grace. How do you live? By grace. How are you going to enter into glory? By grace. Huh? You know any other way? I don't know any other way, do you? Huh? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that me home when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Thank God for grace. Oh, I'm going to get it in the morning. I'm going to have it while I sleep tonight. I'm going to wake up with it. I'm going to have it every day of my life because God's the one that gives it. He's not looking for anything from us for it. And He ain't never going to look for us for anything from it. Bless His name. I'll see you Wednesday night, God willing.